Welcome to E-commerce with Coffee, a podcast powered by Amber Engine, where we share e-com secrets for brands over your favorite brew. We start with the caffeine and then leap enthusiastically into behind-the-scenes e-com insights that led to the success of our guests. I'm Nate Svoboda, and I'm about to serve you up the best. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to today's episode of E-commerce with Coffee. In this conversation, I get to be speaking with Anne Sieg. She is the founder and CEO of the E-commerce Business School, which is helping budding entrepreneurs to establish automated and profitable online businesses. Now, today, we're really going to be focusing on the essentials to getting started and building a brand or a business that is, to a point, self-sustaining and profitable, but doing this in the right way. So, Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. Well, you know, before we dive in, I ask everybody this. Are you a coffee person, a caffeine person?
Coffee, and I have to admit, there's a second one off to the side. So I've already actually been through both of mine, and I'm on to now my supplement drink with all my supplements. But I'm a big 2-cup person every morning.
Yep, I'm the same way, but I'm jealous of you because I drink maybe a little bit too much coffee because I go through 2 of these every single day.
Oh, that's a lot.
It can be a lot.
And it's just caffeinated because mine's decaf.
Oh, see, mine's cold brew, so it's caffeinated on steroids.
Oh, I like
it. Very, very caffeinated.
Cold brew is so tasty. Honestly, I would be on the floor and, you know, me, caffeine, I'd be like this, and I have a lot of energy as it is, so...
Yeah,
it could be dangerous.
Just bouncing off the walls.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah. You know, if you like the taste of coffee and you just need a little something, decaf is totally fine. I know a lot of people who drink decaf exclusively. Well, Anne, really, really excited for our conversation today. You know, obviously, you know, from the conversation we've had, right, the clientele maybe that you more cater towards are the people that really have not put much thought towards online business or e-commerce, right? So this might be the physical therapist that operates out of their home or out of a small office or, you know, any other person that they could feasibly reach people online. They just maybe have never thought of it as a possibility for themselves. So now... you and your team, right? I imagine there's probably a growing number of people over the years who've been coming to you with the idea of, you know, hey, I watched Shark Tank. I want to be in that world. I want to start a business, but I don't know how to do it. In your experience, what are some of the typical motivations or profiles of people that you end up working with?
Well, I'll talk about the people who end up being successful. So as I, because
that's
I
a
do,
good way to start.
Yeah, because I do our graduate calls and I touch base with them. And so when I see our certain hallmarks of success, one, their number one motivation from what I can see for those who are, they're basically holding down a job. So about 70% of our folks are working full or part time. And their biggest motivation seems to be, I want to call my own shots. I don't want a cap on my income. That's a big irritation point. And now that we're 2 years out from COVID, it's they've experienced working from home and they're thinking, well, I can work from home. So what else can I do from home? Because I'm kind of tired of this gig and there is this, the great resignation phenomenon going on. And it's over 50% of the workforce is disenchanted with the work that they're doing. And I see that as a hallmark too. But then there's certain attributes. So that's their motivation. But I do want to talk about the attributes part because, you know, what helps them stick through the program. One are those who have actually have acquired mental discipline. So I hate to be that candid about it. But honestly, so we are a school. So we have education and they're going to go through some rather rigorous education. And so what I have found are people who have gone through, I'm not a big proponent of secondary education. I'm just going to say I'm more in self-education world. But nonetheless, those who've gone through a secondary education, most notably in the medical industry, they do really, really, really well. It's just by far of that vocation. And I think it's because they've have that mental discipline. And then, of course, it always comes down to why they're there. And so what we see as the biggest driver, that motivation, so yes, no ceiling cap, et cetera, but very family-centric. Now, I want to predicate that with the fact we do YouTube. And so we know a massive amount of data about our people, and we know, you know, all the psychographics and the demographics of our audience. And we do get mostly family people, and that their cause for doing their business is because of their family. So I wanted to put that out there, because for me, I need to know all those internal drivers and all those psychographics and everything that make up for a good, you know, a person who will do well in our program.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, right, I mean, I'm Simon Sinek is the individual. I'm forgetting the name of his specific TED talk, right? But, you know, you got to get to the why, right? You have to find out what is that intrinsic motivation, because to you, it helps you communicate to the students. But then even on the student's end, if they're reflecting on that, they're more likely to push through those, you know, those trials and tribulations that they're going to come across, right?
Yes.
Now, taking that, you know, kind of a step further, right? When it comes to someone who comes to you and says, you know, I want to start an online business, what have you seen people think that they need to start with compared with what they actually need to begin doing?
You know, it's almost like they are a blank slate, to be really honest. For one, and it's a challenge, so I'm more B2C instead of B2B, so I'll just say that. They really don't know. They've not even done a business, let alone an online business. So they don't know financially, for example. They don't know the commitment level. All they really have is this driver of, you know, that crown jewel, start with why, the reason that they're doing it. So one of our pillar content pieces that helps them get their heads screwed on straight, so to speak, that lifts them out of, I'm just going to call it dream world, if you, you know, the desire world, and getting them a little more onto the page of starting to think like a business owner, is we have a content piece called The Three Pillars of E-Commerce Success. And number one is cash flow. And so what we're doing as we have this convo with them is we set up the mental filters so that anytime they look at any subsequent business, these filters are well in place. Cash flow. Is there a proof of concept that you can get to cash flow quickly? So for example, in the online online e-commerce world, or it is online by default, is there certain sourcing methods that will by default require a massive amount of what we call delayed gratification. And meaning you might not get your private label product until 9 months out. You hope that the marketplace hasn't changed, etc. But cash flow, because for these folks coming in, they don't know what they're gonna need to further fund their business. So they've got to get that proof of concept of getting cash flow quickly. So with our folks, they can be into cash flow in 2 to 4 weeks. The second one is to automate systems. And so they have to understand that when growing a business, just like McDonald's and a franchise, what makes that replicatable for someone to eventually own 5 McDonald's is it's all a system. Everything is a system. How you do your french fries, how you do anything. So likewise with the e-commerce business is you want to be building systems. And the reason is those systems will then be run by a team. So from day one, we're teaching our people, you're going to be the CEO, but you're going to learn how to make that happen far faster than you would have ever do on your own, because we march them through these steps, because they're not going to be able to scale without that. And then the third pillar is to build assets. Well, by default, you're building assets when you create systems and a team to run your business for you, because that's what a would-be investor is looking for. Is they don't want a glorified job that they're stepping into at buying an e-commerce business, which is a very hot right now. That has gone from like a 2 to 3 multiplier up to almost 9 multiplier, especially Amazon businesses. And so if you know from the onset that you're going to start, and we have people start with Amazon because the traffic is there. The eyeballs are there. That's why we start there. Anyways, in that
and the credit cards are there.
And credit card already in the system, and maybe a handful of credit cards like mine. Anyways, I'll just say that we're really getting them set up in a different mindset than they might not have had, or they don't have as a non-business owner. But I got to say, even business owners who come in, which is more like about 15-20% of our folks, and they go, yeah, I'm glad you're laying this out so squarely, Ann, because I hadn't really looked at my previous businesses in this way. So the cash flow, the automating systems, and to build assets. That way, from day one, you're building something that conceivably, you can have a sale, sell that business.
Yeah.
So that's really where we kind of get them sitting straight and sitting up as a CEO, starting with that premise.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm about to say something that paints with a very broad brush. So anyone listening, take this with a grain of salt. But I've personally been grappling, you know, do I go back for an MBA? Do I go back for, you know, some kind of degree, right? And when I was asking people who went and got their MBA, well, what was the main takeaway you had? What was the biggest thing you got out of it? The most compelling response that I would get from people is, you know, it's not that I learned anything in my class that I apply on a day-to-day basis, but I learned how to think as a business person, right? Like to your point, I learned how to systemize and compartmentalize different parts of a business to you know, think strategically, right? And act like a business owner, like a CEO. And so I'm hearing a lot of parallels to you. And, you know, yeah, there are some hard skills that have to be learned or taught, but at the end of the day, it's actually being able to think like a business person and have that mindset.
Yeah, that is such a shift. And the other part is knowing your numbers. So we get them through our 90-day training for which they can be in cash flow and I have a team in place, which albeit it starts with one and then they scale from there. And then really their second phase of their business is you can't really start, you know, with the numbers. You got to drive data through the system, which means sales. You got to drive sales through the system. Now you can start studying the metrics of the data and how to improve on your profitability, your cost of acquisition, how do you reduce your Amazon fees strategically. Then you start to go into the fine tuning. So at the beginning, it's these big macro projects, if you will, or tasks within the business, is learning the sourcing method, learning how to hire and bring on people, learning how to do your systems. And that happens pretty quickly. That's in a 90-day sprint that we do that with folks, and they're making money by then. In fact, we just recently had a couple of people were hitting 40 grand after their nine in sales, not profitability, in sales.
Yeah, right.
But then we start to fine tune, because you can't fine tune till you get blood flowing through the system, you know, and data, and now start fine tuning it to improve your profit margins.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. And before we started recording, I thought that you had a very good insight about, you know, how you think differently about a business versus a brand. And you compared it to like the shallow end versus the deep end of a pool. I'm just going to open that up. And can you talk us through, you know, how you think about that and how you talk to your students about that?
Well, I'm going to preface it and zoom out even more. I'm a digital marketer. So I came online in 2004 and I did really, really well with my own brand, a digital brand from the get-go, but it's because I had, my son was my business partner and we had the advertising dialed in. So with e-commerce, it becomes more complicated because with digital, well, guess what? You've got an unlimited supply. You have an ebook, right? But when it comes to digital, you're dealing with that whole supply chain. So it's more sophisticated and more nuanced than digital marketing. But there are definitely some very strong parallels, you know, a branded digital marketing versus branded with products. But so we do have folks who say, yeah, you know, they're, for example, we have, we target competitors, so to speak. They're looking at, in other words, they're swimming in the water and looking at all sorts of different e-commerce models, everything from wholesale to private label to having a brand. The appeal of a brand is, oh boy, it's kind of a dreamlike thing. You know, I would just love to have that. But do you have any experience in the e-commerce space? Have you swam in the water before? Have you noted trends? It's so nuanced. Do you know enough to know proof of concept that you're going to do well with the brand straight out of the gate? That's very complicated, all right, unless someone's coming in already with an established brand. So what I have done for when I'm talking to people or considering, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Is how do you protect yourself to put yourself in the best possible position for you to succeed? Not just in the long term, but in the short run. Because if you don't get that short run proof of concept, aka money coming in the bank, you can run your well dry as you're trying to leverage funds off of your own job to fund your new business and you're 9 months out. And trust me, I've had a lot of conversations with people who are in deep hoc because then they got these merchant processing and they got all these advanced things set up that had they started on the shallow end of the pool, they wouldn't have found themselves in this kind of disastrous situation. It'd be like this. You take a toddler and they're going to learn how to swim in a swimming pool. Would you take them to the deep end of the pool and okay, time to jump off the diving board? Or are you going to start them on the shallow end of the pool? Now, someone who doesn't have a global view...
There is a correct answer for people who are listening and don't realize that.
Yeah, if you haven't raised kids, let me just tell you which is the right answer. But it's like when you have a global view, there's like a responsibility to inform and educate people because we've taught all the methods from wholesale to private label to Shopify to print on demand, etc. There are some that are the deep end of the pool. And what that means is there is a high level of risk. So a new person would really cherish having someone who says, put their arm around and say, well, let's have a conversation about this. Let's sort it all out because I want you to make a decision that's going to be most favorable to a success outcome for yourself. And jumping into the deep end of the pool simply is not. And what we have seen as the biggest point of failure going into the deep end of the pool prematurely is they don't have enough systems and a team in place. That's what we've seen. Now, others may
and by systems, just to make sure, because sometimes on this show, we talk a lot about technology, right? When you say systems, do you mean technology or are you just saying like documented processes that are repeatable?
It's both. So the automated systems, it's the use of software dovetailed in with, in this standard operating procedure, SOP, you're going to go to, use XYZ software. I love software and I always tell people software does two things. Saves you time, helps you make more money. If you use it at the right time and you know how to use that software. So that's all together, the automate systems. It's all inclusive. It's setting up your protocols, your systems. It's setting up the software. And then it's setting up the people comes last. You've got to learn it first. And then bit by bit, you're outsourcing it to people. And here's why. So, the book You Myth Revisited is a business classic. And it's wearing, she's a pie baker. And I'm going to go start a business baking pies. And before you know it, she's wearing 10 different hats and she's floundering. I didn't know I was going to have to know accounting. And, she's just an expert at pie baking. And I'm going to get rich selling pies. Whoops, run into the wall. I've got to know all these other skill sets. So that's the problem when you're into the deep end of the pool and there's far more, checklist things that you need to get right. And the risk of things going wrong is a lot higher. Like if you buy a container from China and you initiated that and now it's coming in and finally you're going to get your shipment, how has the marketplace changed in that time? Are other people going to riff off your cool idea you came up with, etc.? And so you want to put yourself in a favorable position for a newbie. And I mean that respectfully, everybody's got to start somewhere that favors you having that success outcome. So it's risk mitigation in business, but it takes having that global view to sort that out. And how would a newbie know any differently? Am I in the deep end of the pool? They wouldn't have any idea. It just sounds so amazing. I could be like that person I saw in Shark Tank and I could be a millionaire.
Man, wouldn't that be cool? I feel like it would be equally one of the best experiences of my life and also one of the most horrifying experiences of my life being on Shark Tank. But I love watching the show and living vicariously through those people. You hit on a couple of really important points through that in terms of like what is important to a business, right? Obviously, sourcing is super important. If you don't have a product to sell, then you're not going to be able to sell it, even if the orders are coming in. Now, when it comes to starting a business, right, you mentioned this, cash flow is huge, right? Mm-hmm. A business needs to be able to pay for their digital marketing, their advertising. They need to be able to buy their supply and their inventory. Now, what do people that are building brands typically forget to account for when it comes to things like building up cash flow?
Well, I'll just say what we use is our recommended method, and people may flinch at and go, well, I don't want to go backwards and do that. Well, where we start people with it's speed to market. Speed to market is where it is. And so with that, speed to market, meaning proof of concept, it's already selling. So we teach arbitrage right from the get-go. And that's actually what we started teaching 9 years ago. We're still teaching it. People still do insanely well. Because my biggest concern as a digital marketer when I first entered into e-com 9 years ago was, but what about saturation? It's been a non-issue. Surprisingly, because digital marketing can fatigue, has a much shorter shelf life than conceivably a product. So what we look for is speed to market, getting the dollars turning as quickly as possible. So with arbitrage, you can do it local with the phone, your phone and the Amazon seller app. You scan the product and you could literally be listing it even as you walk out of the store, literally, even before you get to the checkout lane. And so basically you're taking that product that you bought low and you're flipping it for high on Amazon. And there's a whole methodology behind that that we're not going to go into now. But the point being, here's what it is. It's already selling. It's already someone's listing. The keyword traffic is all in place. There's not having to learn how to write a good, you know, listing and doing all the science behind a good sales page, more or less, with an Amazon listing. It's already done. The eyeballs are already flowing through that listing, and basically you're a supplier to that lister. That's called cash flow. And so our people, especially for a newbie, it's so important to get that success. And I just made my first sale and it just landed in the warehouse yesterday. Bingo. That's because you knew how to look at the data and choose a high-ranking product, low competition, good profit, etc. So, you know, sadly, what happens for a lot of people, they die on the vine out in the deep end of the pool as a newbie, so to speak, because they've burnt out their cash flow. You know, they just can't further fund their business. Whereas with the arbitrage method, it self-perpetuates. You take the profit and you drive it right back in.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've had a number of conversations with people who, you know, when they started in, you know, the digital commerce world 10, 15 years ago on eBay, one individual did exactly that, right? He'd go to the Nike outlet and he'd buy all of last year's shoes. Yes. And then he'd go flip them online. And yeah. Especially with Nike, it's probably very illegal to do that these days. Maybe not. But so it's interesting because to your point, while this is so possible, there's probably a lot of potential pitfalls, right? Maybe there are some brands that they have agreements that prevent resellers that you may not know about until you get slapped with, you know, some type of citation or issue. So that makes it even more important to work with individuals that know the game and can help people avoid those risks and those pitfalls. Now, in thinking about like a budget, right? And obviously that'll mm-hmm. vary depending on the business owner, the capital right. they have going into the project, et cetera. What are some things that are in a general budget for a startup entrepreneur that they can scrimp on or shop around for a lower price?
Yeah. For a budget, so we do have some folks, well, I got 10 grand to throw into this thing. And we say, well, let's not do that. Let's just start with a small budget. And I'm going to talk small, $200 to $300. So when we're talking about the products. And the reason is, again, it's being data centric. Would you want to drive $10,000 worth of product through? And we, with arbitrage, it's buy wide instead of deep. So you're all these different SKUs, and you when you're just learning how to understand the data, you don't want to be looking at 150 different SKUs straight out of the gate. You're learning the system, and that's so key. So you might have 10 different products, and you put $300 into it. That's just for starters. And you're watching the data for some mentoring so you understand and how to track, you know, the profitability, et cetera. How can you decrease Amazon fees, et cetera, so that you can better optimize. But we actually tell people to start small. Now, they also want to know what's the cash outlay, your Amazon store, $39.95. We rattle off three different software they're going to need. But we tell them you don't want to use that until it's time to use it. We'll let you know when to use it. So they're going to have software, they're going to have their Amazon store, but in terms of product, we really do teach small. And again, this is for someone who's starting. They go, they're not having to use a big chunk of their savings. And I'm just going to say it because we get the disaster stories that roll in of, you know, and I bought that container, silicon ice cube trays, and I only sold 10, the rest are sitting in my garage, you know, and that could have been better put to use. And those stories run rife because of, you know, popular trains that teach go hit your one-hit wonder from
Well,
China.
And you think about what happened in the past 2 years, not to bash anybody who did this. I don't want to offend anybody. But, you know, all the people who went and did disposable face masks, they went and did hand sanitizer. And it's like, it's a good idea. But if everybody and their brother is doing it, maybe a little oversaturated there.
Yeah. And they ran into problems on Amazon with that. My son is a sourcing agent in China, so I have an understanding of kind of a bigger dynamic at that level. But so to that point is we actually, instead of people, I think people get starry-eyed about how they're going to get rich really fast. What we're trying to do is set a secure foundation. You understand business, you understand systems and processes. how to do hiring and training of people and bring them in to run your business. So they're really set as a true solid business and infrastructure, which, speaking of the sharks, they're looking for that. What do you got? What's your infrastructure? Do you know your numbers? And you see them ripped to shreds by our beloved Ed Leary.
Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful. You know, where they're and the people who do walk in knowing all their numbers, it's pretty much wow factor. You know, they're not in there unless they do know their numbers. That's, you know, anyways, I'll just say we're really about securing the foundation so that they can scale quickly.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And that all made a ton of sense, Anne. I mean, I guess the main question that I have for you here that I'm really curious, can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, what some of the successes students that came out of your program have seen, right? You know, doesn't need to be like a pitch for the program per se, but would definitely love to hear about, like, what are some of those success stories?
Well, this isn't like hitting your wholesale hit or your private label. So basically they're flipping products. And so it's not uncommon for people to hit $100,000. That's within their first year. Okay. And really what that's predicated on, they can hit it sooner. Like one gal I just talked to the other day, she hit in month 6 or 7. That means they've got funding. They're buying more products to funnel into the system. Once they've got that whole system dialed in, they maybe have 2 or 3 VAs who are vetting products for them every day. So it's really predicated on how much money are they then able to subsequently funnel into it. But I would say it's not uncommon that $100,000 is a pretty, we see people pop into our private mastermind page all the time with that $100,000. And the profits are about 25% to 30% with the arbitrage method, as long as they follow the metrics, you know, they're watching the data before they purchase the product. And then from there, by the second year, they're going into 300 to 500. And then one gal, she did almost 750,000 in a single calendar year. So it's an, you know, and our people, and they're pretty clear about it. See, I'm not trying to, you know, they're trying to be reasonable. I want to replace my income and then some. So they're very happy with mostly getting out of their job, replacing their income, and then padding to actually hit a more, as we call it, an ultimate business lifestyle. They can have their laptop.
Hit the dream. Yeah.
It's a dream. Live your dream life. One gal moved to Italy and she runs her Amazon business from Italy. That's an important aspect of that lifestyle that comes with the business. So I interview a lot of our members and it's just fun to hear of their journey and success. So it really is predicated on having those VAs doing the work for them and then having the cash to funnel into it.
Love that. And then I'm glad I remembered to ask this, because I usually, when people say, oh, well, we recommend a system or a software, I try to understand, well, specifically, what is that tool? So for the entrepreneurs you're working with, you said that there's usually 2 or 3 systems or software that you pretty much always recommend. What are those? Can you talk us through, like, what they are, what they do, and why you recommend them?
Yes. I drew a blank on the very first one. I'll get it. It's got an API into Amazon. The other two are Inventory Lab and Eva. So Eva is a repricer. Inventory Lab helps you manage your store. And the other one is the non-negotiable.
You can even just talk through the functionality. If you can think of it and you can send it over, I'll put it in the show notes.
Basically, you will, as you have that software, when you look at your Amazon store as a, you know, a shopper, you're going to see a completely different set of data that opens up underneath. And basically, the owner created this little button on there that when you click it, it goes straight into our spreadsheet, which does the product evaluation. And then it lights up. So that's our own software that lights up red, danger zone, don't buy that product. And it's in a profit and return on investment. Yellow, proceed with caution. Green is a go. So that data that we pull straight out of that Amazon listing then funnels right into our own software, an Excel spreadsheet with all these formulas that tells them instantly whether they've got a winner or not. So AZ Insight, I just remembered it, AZ Insight. And we have a special discount that's for our own members, but we love the owner of that. It's $129 a year. It's a steal. It's dirt cheap. AZ Insight. So Inventory Lab helps you manage your Amazon store, helps with your bookkeeping, and then Eva is for repricing. And those are the three must-have. And as we know, there's so many other software related to selling on Amazon, but those are the three that we recommend our people within their first 90 days. If especially if they're moving products. We're not going to recommend software when it just sits there unattended, non-used. So, those are the three software.
No, that's interesting. I appreciate you running through those. I'm going to go check those out. Yeah. But, well, Anne, this has been a, first of all, this has been a very insightful conversation. I've really enjoyed it. Where can our listeners get in touch with you if anything we've talked about resonated, if they're interested in taking up on your course, or if they just want to connect and pick your brain?
Go to ecommercebusinessschool.com. That's our website, ecommercebusinessschool.com. I know it's a long URL, ecommercebusinessschool.com. And there's a little blue button at the top for some free training if you want to learn more about our, it's called 90-Day Peak Performance Mentoring. And having been in the training space for, since 2004, I am a firm believer that people need more than just training. And I create training, we have training, but we really believe in the mentorship aspect. And that's the glue. That's the glue of really helping people succeed and connect the dots and make their training and implementation actually work.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Well, we'll be sure to put that in the show notes. And I really, really appreciate you joining the show today. I think this was a really good interview, and I think that our listeners are going to be able to get a lot out of it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me here.
That's it for this episode of E-commerce with Coffee, powered by Amber Engine. If you haven't gotten your fix yet, be sure to get more e-commerce brand secrets on our website at amberengine.com. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes.